CanFit Pro's biggest event of the year is here. Join us on August 13th and 14th for the CanFit Pro 2021 online global conference and trade show. Begin each morning with a guided meditation from Rose Buddha, then explore workshops and lectures on mental health, wellness, resilience, yoga, and Pilates. Visit CanFitPro2021.org/global for more information.
Welcome to Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving, where we explore the 12 permaculture principles as accessible ways to living a joyful life. We're your hosts. I'm Catherine Stilo.
And I'm Paul Galoro.
And today, we're exploring design principle number 10, use and value diversity. Before we dive right into today's principle, though, Paul, let's do our homework check-in. How'd we do with our homework from episode 9, which was small, slow solutions? And yeah, we had two. We had take our next best step in growing. So trying out a small pot or herbs or going bigger and making it a larger plot or guild. And we also had our lives. And where can we be just 1% better? So those small, slow solutions in the direction we want to go. How'd we do?
Well, in honor of small, slow solutions, something that came to me is that with the early principles, I found I was okay with this. But now I'm seeing that these principles are a little bit larger in life, that it's not so much that I focused a lot on small, slow solutions and what's the next step. I take that back. The next step for me right now is to just take a step back and watch how all of this is playing out. So for me to sit here and say, oh, this was this specific thing that I did for small, slow solutions, I don't really have it, because I've been focusing on everything. But I think for me was to just take a step back from all the principles and watch how they're integrating into everything right now. Because I've been noticing a lot of shifts in my relationships that have been like small, slow solutions as I've been going through them. But if I were to pick one thing, one of the things that I did was looking at this idea of 1% better. I thought, how can I make something that I'm already consuming all the time better? And I finally invested in one of the water filters that we mentioned in our episode 6. So I'm drinking this clean water that's free of arsenic and chemicals and pharmaceuticals and glyphosate and fluoride. And just that little shift, and it's only been a couple days, I'm noticing a big change in my energy, in the way I feel, and actually the way my body feels as well.
Wow. You change one thing, it changes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. How about you?
Oh, I played with the lives and where can we be the 1% better. And it's a concept that you introduced me to, Bella Figura. And I don't know what the literal translation is. As I understand it, it's the love of life and the enjoyment that I get from each and every moment. And so in each and every moment, it was, how can I have 1% more enjoyment from the, you know, just a little bit more enjoyment? Where can I bring that lust for life in, that joy, the joyous living in? So that's what I've been doing in each and everything that I was working on or playing in or whatever it was I was doing, is like, how can I enjoy this just 1% more?
Give me an example of how you enjoyed something 1% more.
Okay. So planting, cause that's, we're doing a lot of that at this time of year. I don't know when people are actually listening to this. When we're recording it, it's in that, like late May, early June phase. So there's a lot of planting and my hands are in the dirt. And so it's really being in the moment and feeling the dirt. And is it dry? Is it moist? And how does that feel on my skin? And how do the plants feel and the smells and are there fragrances and looking at all the colors that are around. And the other day I was sitting outside, it was admiring the different shades of green, because we have a lot of trees around and there are so many different shades. So to say forest green, well, it's like, I don't know, is it a forest of pine trees or cedar trees or maple trees? Because those are all different greens. Mm-hmm. So there's like the yellows, the greeny yellows, there's the ones that are quite light green, and then there's the deep greens, there's like emerald greens. It's like mind-blowing to actually stop and notice that. So that kind of thing.
That is amazing. Wow. You've just inspired me next time I'm playing in my garden. So thank you for that. So let's talk about today's principle: use and value diversity. This is exciting for me because it also, I feel like it's going to be very closely related to integrate rather than segregate. So I'm excited to dive deeper into this. As always, you have a gorgeous Zen tale. Let's hear it.
Okay. So this is a Zen tale, and maybe our listeners have heard of this because it's quite a well-known Zen tale. It's called A Cup of Tea. And this tale tells of a student who went to a Zen master demanding to be taught the secret of enlightenment. And instead of saying something, the Zen master began pouring a cup of tea. And the cup became full, yet the Zen master kept on pouring until the tea was overflowing from this cup onto the floor. And the student jumped up and said, "My cup is full. Why do you keep on pouring? It's spilling over everywhere." And the master said, "Like this cup of tea, your mind is already filled with something. If I pour my knowledge into your cup, it will just go onto the floor because there's no room for it. You'll interpret my instructions according to what you already think, and your mind will not be able to accept the truth I give you. You have to empty your cup."
Ooh. Okay. These are getting more interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this all comes together. So let's talk about diversity. What does it mean from a permaculture perspective to use and value diversity?
Okay, so let's start with the definition of diversity, or one of the possible definitions of diversity. Diversity means variety. It means having or being composed of differing elements. And maybe we've heard the phrase, variety is the spice of life.
Spice up your life. Sorry, I had to.
Totally. So variety is the spice of life. That's basically what use and value diversity means. So diversity in forms, diversity in functions, diversity in interactions, because diversity, or this variety of whatever it is, and in particular, we're talking, of course, in the permaculture perspective at the beginning of our episodes, diversity in all this life leads to greater resilience, leads to a wider range of goods, a wider range of services being available. So we're talking biodiversity here. And this is variety in nature. And we find that the ecosystems that have greater varieties of plant life, greater varieties of animal life, they work best. And those are the signs of a healthy ecosystem, is how much variety is there. So to make sure there are different varieties of plants and animals represented.
It makes sense. I'm taken back to when you talk about Joel Salatin with how he has the cows and then the pigs and then the chickens. Like it's not just the one animal that's involved in everything. And also looking at how we crop things, not monocropping, but polycropping, where we mix everything. Like in my garden where I'm companion planting. So, okay, this totally makes sense.
So that's a great segue to how does this principle look like in action? So those monocultures, the monocropping, we know that with those kind of systems, they are very vulnerable to pests and diseases because it's one thing. It requires toxic chemicals. It requires a lot of energy to have this monocropping, which has no biodiversity. So if we switch to the Joel Salatin way of doing things, it's the biodiversity. It's having polycultures. That the polyculture is one of the most widely recognized applications of use and value diversity. And that polyculture insulates a system against if there's an adverse season, if there's a fluctuation in the market that the price of whatever the monocrop would have been drops or supply and demand shifts in monocropping, it insulates against that because there's always something else to make up for it. There's always something else to jump in and take over if something falls apart on one end. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense because I'm thinking if I'm a pest that likes a particular crop and I know that there is a field of this one crop, I'm calling my friends, my family, and everybody that I know and everybody that they know and saying, feast here in this field. Let's go. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. What a great illustration, but a great like visual. Yeah. It's like, come on, woo-hoo, field day. So when we have diversity, that doesn't happen as much. It's not totally insulating against that type of thing. What it does is the consequence of something like that happening has lessened because there are other things that can provide food. There are other things that if they break can provide energy or whatever it is that we need. Mm. Another common phrase is don't put all your eggs in one basket. Maybe we've heard that phrase. So we know the consequences of if all our eggs are in one basket, what happens if that, you know, whatever we're at risk if all our eggs in one basket, whereas if they're distributed, we've got more of a chance that one of those eggs is going to survive. Mm. Another phrase that is common in permaculture is two is one, one is none. And this is a common philosophy to have more than one thing that performs a function and more than one function to support things. So what this looks like, if we think back to, we talk about earthships a lot. In an earthship, there is solar panel and there's also a wind turbine, and both of those generate electricity. So if there's no sun, the wind will still charge the battery bank. If there's no wind, the sun will take it. So two is one, one is none. It's still, we've still got that function being met regardless. Mm. The water catchment in an earth or ship can also be, it can be a backup to a well. So you've got water that is caught from the roof as well as a well. And that way there's two sources of water. And taking it on a more personal level, because we always like to share what's going on in our personal lives. Here at our house, we've got geothermal to heat our house. We've also got two wood stoves. So if in the winter there's a power outage, the geothermal is not going to heat the house, we still have wood stoves as a backup that our place is still going to be warm enough that we don't freeze, warm enough that pipes don't freeze. Mm. So that's another example. With our water here, we're on a well system. We also have a pond. So if we had to, if whatever happened to the pump or whatever, we also have a backup. If we had to, we could go to the pond, we could boil the water, we could filter that water to have a supply of water to drink or to water crops, whatever it is that we need. And if we really, really wanted to get into use and value diversity, applying the two is one, one is none, we would actually have a hand pump as well as the electric pump for the well. Mm. So that then gives us the backup to the backup, right, of things. Yeah.
Huh. That, oh, I love this concept and this idea. And I also love, oh, here, what I love, my mind is all over the place right now, but I love how you have one thing that has multiple functions, but then you have multiple functions for one thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, because for going back to the hand pump that you talked about, it's not just for the well, you're going to use it for something else as well.
Yeah.
So, and that, you know, that is brilliant. And it makes me think of how I would like to have less things that have more functions. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
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 I love that. Cool. So we talk grand scale, we talk personal scale, where you're talking about the hand pump, the wood stove. What inspired action can I take, or our listeners, what can we take to bring in, use, and value diversity?
So many of us maybe have a flower garden. Do we have flowers that are blooming at all times of the year? So do we have things that bloom in May and then June and then July and then August? So it's not color for, you know, a couple weeks or a month and then back to green and there's nothing for the pollinators. So can we get a variety of different plants that flower at different times of the year or fruit at different times of the year?
Oh, you know what I was thinking about? Because I'm in my head thinking, I want to put more trees into my backyard eventually over time. Ideally, I would love a cherry tree. I'm not sure. I haven't looked into it yet, but we'll see. But I was thinking what I'm seeing in a lot of backyard design these days are cedar trees or shrubs, things that don't, you know, drop leaves so much so that they're easy to take care of. And that is going to eventually lead to like deserts of backyards of just these, hey, an evergreen is a wonderful tree, but we can't all have that kind of tree in our backyard. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm even thinking where in my neighborhood, you know, it's still under development. So we don't have full trees in yet. We're still waiting for that to come. And so it's basically like a desert. The sun is drying up all the soil. There's not enough water, even though we're right by a lake. And there's not enough diversity in the landscape here. So if we were, because I'm constantly thinking that if we had more trees, it would shade the soil. So the soil would stay moist a little bit longer. If we had more trees that leaves fall, then we're going to have more nutrients for the soil as well. So not only does it act as a canopy to protect the soil from the sun, but it acts as fuel for the soil later. So am I in the right direction?
You are spot on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Okay. Yeah. Fabulous. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about how we can use this principle to thrive. Hey, Thrivers, we are talking about permaculture principle number 10, use and value diversity. And it is my honor to have my dear friend, the delicious, beautiful, gorgeous Lawrence Biscontini.
I'm honored to be here, permaculture sister, brother, and human spirit.
I love you. Thank you so much for being here. So we're discussing permaculture principle number 10, use and value diversity. And I'm happy you're here because next month in August on the 13th, you're facilitating a panel called Pride and Celebration in the Fitness Industry. I'm super excited and honored to be part of this panel. We're out of the garden right now, and in a bit, Catherine and I are going to be discussing how we can use and value diversity in our lives to thrive. So I'd love to get your take on what diversity means to you.
First of all, thanks for having me be with you. It is an honor. And when you say we're out of the garden, I'd say yes, and we're still in a metaphorical garden or a bigger sense. Because when I wake up, I think, how am I going to take yesterday's seeds and develop them today, whether they're planned or unplanned, have sort of a plan to react to the things that I can't control, right? Or respond to them better than react. And then what am I going to sow for tomorrow's reaping, right? So it is also a metaphysical and metaphorical garden of everything we do. We're out of, maybe I'm not kneeling, pulling up my cucumbers right now. I think diversity to me is how I can use these wonderful gifts that God has given me on my planet and see them with fresh eyes and feel them with fresh hands and include them with an open heart in ways that I may not have realized till people actually told me. Things like permaculture, things like unconscious bias, things like renaming my house. There's no more master bedroom, for example, outdated, antiquated, and even negative terms. Diversity to me is more than a term. It's really becoming, for so many of us, a lifestyle. And part of that lifestyle is the metaphorical and literal garden of what we're planting every day. And that's permaculture.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for painting that gorgeous picture to go along with your gorgeous face. I'm so looking forward to being on this panel with you. So it's Pride and Celebration in the Fitness Industry on August 13th, 3 p.m. at the CanFit Pro 2021 virtual conference.
Can you believe it? We're going to talk about where LGBT and all those other initials have come to faces that a lot of people might not realize were huge challenges years ago, and then talk about what strides we've made through events like Stop Asian Hate and Black Lives Matter and Pride growing in recognition around the world and laws that celebrate same-sex marriages in many countries. And then we're going to talk about what still hurdles we have to go. I listened to somebody very recently, Paul, who's in our community, say people don't realize, for example, what it's like to want to join a gym. And a huge issue of just joining a gym is walking around the locker room saying, would I feel safe here? And it's so true, because I've been to gyms, maybe you have too, with a lot of homophobes, big name hypertrophic locker rooms. I'm trying to choose my words so carefully, where I just felt like these are people who are going to beat me up the moment the lights go out. And that's something that the world doesn't realize. Oh, join a gym. They're healthy. All those gay people, they work out to have those bikinis in the summer and they starve themselves so they can look great. Some people think those things. And people don't even realize that maybe we don't even work out in gyms because we're fearful of our lives. And that's in the cities, let alone the countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And something that you touched on earlier, I remember the first time I went into a gym. First of all, gym class was in high school, was just traumatizing for me. And then I remember stepping into the first gym. I would go in my gym clothes and I would leave in my gym clothes. It took a lot of work within myself, even as somebody that worked for a gym, to feel comfortable enough to be in that environment. So I want to thank you so much for bringing that up here. And also, I'm looking forward to continuing this discussion on August 13th with not only myself and you, but we have a wonderful panel of others as well. So I'm looking forward to this. Thank you so much for your time, for your presence in my life. And can you just do me a big fave? Give Biscuit a big snuggle for me.
I will. I always do.
We are including all of Lawrence's links in our show notes, so please make sure that you follow him. Thank you so much for joining us today, Lawrence.
It's my pleasure.
Welcome back to Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving. We're discussing permaculture principle number 10, use and value diversity. Catherine, let's talk about how this principle shows up in our lives.
One thing that comes to mind almost immediately is our diets and eating, diversity eating. Do we eat a wide variety of foods? I often love the phrase, eat the rainbow. So making sure that,
Skittles?
Yeah, that what?
No, I'm kidding.
That's taste the rainbow.
Oh, okay. There's a difference.
Yeah, a little bit of a difference. Actually, a lot of a difference. Anyway, eat the rainbow. So eat the rainbow is eat different types of fruits and vegetables that have different colors that bring in different spectrums, that bring in different nutrients to our diet. Instead of eating one thing all the time, and then our bodies get used to that thing, they're not using it as efficiently. So eat the rainbow, introduce different types of foods, introduce different spices. When we talk about variety as the spice of life, actually spice up our lives with different types of spices and tastes. So that's, yeah, that's one thing that kind of immediately comes to mind.
Yeah. Well, and that makes sense because we've talked about that before on the show, the importance of eating seasonally, right? So having that variety within the year is important because our body's going to be able to adjust to the change in the climate and the temperature, et cetera. But then also within each season, having that variety of different nutrients. And going back to what you said earlier, having like one thing that has multiple functions and having multiple functions for one thing, it's like getting vitamin C, not just from oranges or whatever, or broccoli or whatever, but all things that you can get vitamin C from, right? Because it's just, it's going to give you a different aspect of it. It's going to keep the body guessing, which it loves.
That's exactly it, is keeping the body guessing and, having it use things in different way. And that, like, that's, you just said it exactly. Like, that's awesome.
Well, it also makes me think of, and we've talked about this before, diversity and movement, right? I think part of the OM work from last episode where I noticed my body wanted, or my head wanted to do something, but my body needed a completely different thing. And also we talk about this as yoga teachers too, that repetitive movement could lead to injury.
Oh my gosh. I think of in my personal life, I used to be, and I'm going to air quote, I used to label myself a runner. I'm a runner. And I would not miss my run. I ran every day. And I think back like, oh my God, what was I doing to my body? Those patterns in my body, those patterns in movement. I was in the corporate world, so everything was fast, fast, fast. I was always running. When I first got drawn to yoga, it was Ashtanga, so it was the fast, fast, fast. So there really wasn't any diversity in the energy that I was bringing to my life.
I used to be a runner too, but I was running away from my problems. Oh gosh, I haven't stopped doing that yet, but I'm working on it. But actually, it's funny enough that you were talking about this because I've been thinking in my head too. I feel the need for some different movement. You know, our gyms are closed, et cetera, et cetera. So I've been doing a lot of the same stuff, but I'm missing like dance. Because I do dance on my own, but I miss that, like either a structured dance class that's teaching you some choreography, because it also gets the brain moving and thinking in a different way, right? Because your different movement patterns lead to different thinking patterns.
Absolutely. It's that how did you phrase it? Keeping the body guessing. Mm-hmm. So dance keeps the body guessing because there's no repetitive motion that the body can get into, and then the mind can just check out because it's a repetitive movement. The mind just goes somewhere else. In the dance, it's the body's always guessing. The mind's always like trying to keep up with, okay, where are we going? There's that connection of surprising the body and keeping it guessing. And then there's that benefit of the other types of movement. How, you know, I think back to when I was a runner and that's what I did, how much could my body have benefited from those other types of movement? My mind benefited from those other types of movement, fluid movement, dance. God, restorative. Oh my God, when that came into my life, restorative yoga, restorative, rejuvenating practices totally changed things. Got me out of those grooves, what we call in yoga the samskaras, those grooves or patterns that are reinforced. For me, it was the fast, fast, fast. Without bringing in diversity, without using and valuing diversity, I don't have any way of shaking things up and getting out of those, you know, what could become ruts in my life.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Vulnerability moment. You just made me think of something. So all my life, I've always had so many diverse interests that don't have a common thread. Like the common thread is that I like to do them. And I always thought in my life, I was struggling in my career because I couldn't just do one thing. I even remember growing up in high school, I had multiple jobs because school was great. I loved going to school, but I didn't want to always be a cashier. So I would be a cashier some days as my part-time job. And then another day I would be selling shoes. I worked at Aldo shoe store. I just wanted the discount, let's be honest. but now, even as an adult, like I think about me now, you know, in any given day, I could be writing an article, editing copy, digging a foundation for a home, you know, and these are all things that I do to generate revenue in my life so that I can have a beautiful garden that I can go out and enjoy. And that satiates me. We talk about Ayurveda being vata, that ever changing, still having that structure within, okay, these are the three things that I jump to from back and forth, but still having that opportunity to practice all of these things gets the brain working, gets different aspects of my personality space to just exist, right? Because when we focus on one thing all the time, or if we hang out with the same people all the time, there's different parts of ourselves that don't get to be, I was going to use the word exercised, but that's not the word, that just don't get to be used. And if we don't use them often, it's use it or lose it, right? It's like muscle. You don't use a muscle, it's going to atrophy. It atrophies, then it's going to affect your posture. It's going to affect your ability to move. So then we start to think of even the aspects of our person, having diversity in our personality is important, so that we have outlets for all those different parts of ourselves.
Oh my gosh, that gave so many places to go with this. So in you having so many different interests and activities, and then I heard you say they're all different, so revenue, ways of generating revenue, right? So you've mm-hmm. got, so not only are you exercising different skills and talents, you've also got diversity in your revenue stream, which is a great example of this principle in our lives, because then if one dries up for some reason, you've still got other places that there is going to be, you know, and we're saying it's a revenue stream, let's call it an influx of energy. Mm-hmm. So it's still going to come in. So whether it's, we were talking about, you know, solar and wind in the first part of our show, where is energy coming in? I've still got energy coming in. And this time we're talking at energy in terms of revenue. So right. That's, you know, that's a way that goes. And, and the exercising different parts and of our skills and talents, I thought of, you know, putting how we put together teams. So to make sure, and I don't know if our listeners or anybody has heard of Edward de Bono, the Six Thinking Hats. It was quite popular way back, like 20 years ago. I don't know if it's still kind of around, but the Six Thinking Hats and Myers-Briggs personality profiles also kind of brings this idea in that we need all of these in forming a team. We need all of these different talents and strengths. So we need the blue skyers. We need the innovators. We need the drivers. We need the organizers. We need the critical thinkers who are going to keep the blue skyers in check. Mm-hmm. So we don't go off into the wild blue yonder. So all of these things are really important to happen. This is diversity in putting together a team. And a personal example right now, I'm in the middle of leading a yoga teacher training, and we have a teaching team right now of three of us. And I couldn't have designed a better team, because I've got one person who is so great at organizing and keeping us on track and keeping attention to detail and keeping us on time. And then I have another person who brings the romance to life and looks at life through an artist's eyes. And so if we've gotten too rigid, that person's there to balance. And if we've gotten too romantic and artistic and are going to get off track and not be able to get everything done, we've got that other person for balance. And so then having those two as part of this team, I'm able to dance, like keep this beautiful balance and dance between these two areas. So, mm-hmm. you know, in developing a team, putting together diverse talents and strengths.
Well, and if we could also just talk about the world, if we really embraced diversity more in the world and accepted other ways of being and other ways of living and other ways of loving, if we can just talk about that for a second, because love doesn't always have to be just romantic between a man and a woman, right? Imagine how much color and like no pun intended, but like it's there, but like, just how much more vibrant could the world be if we looked at someone else's opinion or way of life, and instead of judging it, just thought, huh, that's interesting. Not take it, not leave it, not make a big deal about it, but just that's another way of doing something cool. Do you know what I'm saying? We could definitely have a lot more peace and harmony on this planet, I think.
Oh, yeah. A lot more peace and harmony and a lot more of a whole picture. Because we all come from different places, have different perspectives, are interpreting the world differently, and it is so critical, it's now more than ever, to talk about how we see the world and to listen to how other people see the world, because diversity of points of view, diversity of opinions is what keeps us in the understanding of the whole, is what keeps us from getting off track. I think back to, we shared this tale, and I think it was in episode 4, we shared the Zen tale of the blind men and the elephant. Mm. And that episode 4 was about self-regulate and accept feedback. And it applies here too, in diversity of point of view, diversity of opinion, because in that tale, each person has a different view of this elephant. So, you know, if one person doesn't speak up or isn't allowed to speak up, well, we don't really have the whole story. Mm-hmm. If two people don't speak up or aren't allowed to speak up, well, then we only have half the story. Mm-hmm. And if nobody speaks up or is allowed to speak up, then we're not going to know that there's an elephant in the room.
Wow. I need to sit with all of that for a minute because, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's like, don't censor ourselves and play small because our perspective is a very, very important part of the whole picture for humanity at this time. Mm-hmm. And especially if we see opinions or points of view being censored, well, there's something that we have to stand up for that. We have to stand up for being allowed to express and discuss. And I mean, it always goes back to intention and being in the heart space and making sure that it's with the intention of we're sharing our opinion to give that piece of the whole. We're sharing to get the picture of the whole. So there's always that intention that we have to go back to. From a place of love, we're saying, this is how I see the world.
Yeah. Wow. Catherine, let's loop it back to this Zen tale about the overflowing cup.
So looping it back to a cup of tea, asking ourselves, where can we empty our cup? Where can we open our minds? Where can we open our hearts to bring in new ideas, new points of view, new opinions?
Thrivers, we want to loop you in here. So let us know your comments. Send us an email or comment wherever you're listening to this, or join us in the Living Spiritfully Collective Facebook group. comealivepodcast@gmail.com is our email address. So Kitty girl, let's talk about some om work. I'm excited for om work this week.
Me too. Okay. So a little bit of homework in our food. Can we, at one meal, eat the rainbow, see how many colors we can bring in? Mm. And if we want to go a little bit further than that, can we bring in some interesting dishes or try a new recipe or a new flavor in our diets?
Oh, I am all over this because A, I love food, and B, I love new recipes. So yes, I'm in. And Thrivers, I'm just going to put this out there. If you try a new recipe or an interesting dish, feel free to share the recipe with us. Catherine and I, our faces are lighting up. Like, yes, please send us whatever you've got. Because yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Or a colorful, if you made a colorful salad or something, like take it, like show us how colorful it can be.
Yes. Super exciting. And then let's add to this. Well, let's step out of the kitchen and into our lives and look at where our cups may already be full, just like the Zen tale. So example, if you have a strong opinion on something, research the other side, see what other people think about this topic or idea, and expand your mind and your heart a little bit and see where that takes you.
I am so excited to hear about this. So be sure to join the Living Spiritfully Collective Facebook group, because we can continue this discussion and this sharing, and check out our websites and links in the show's notes.
And remember, we're meant to thrive. How will you come alive? Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving, is a regenerative living production in association with Pollerin Studios and The Elementals. Hey! Executive producer, Catherine Stilo. Co-producer and sound engineer, Paul Galoro. Inspired by and dedicated to Mother Earth, our bio-intelligence and the spirit that moves through all things. A big thank you and much love to you, our community, for subscribing to and sharing this podcast.